Radio MD. RadioMD.com.
He's a cardiologist. He's a chef. He's America's culinary interventionalist. It's time for Code Delicious with Dr. Michael Fenster.
Hello, Food Nation, Healthy Nation. Are you ready for the scrumptious and the salubrious all wrapped up into one tasty treat? I know that you are. And I know you know that means it's time once again for another Code Delicious. I am Dr. Mike, and today we're tackling one of my favorite topics, seafood. Of course, whenever I see food, I eat food, as a lot of us have done over the holidays. But we're going to be talking about all the great things from the ocean with my special guest today, Rima Kleiner. She is a nationally recognized food and nutrition expert, much like myself and all of you. She's passionate about food and health. She works from the individual level all the way up to corporation and national, international clients like the National Fisheries Institute. You may have seen her on ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox. She's been on NPR in the Washington area. May have read some of her writings in the Washington Post, Fitness, SheKnows.com, Family Circle, and the list goes on and on. Rima, thank you so much for being here today. This is one of my favorite topics.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
So, Rima, tell us a little bit about seafood. Should we be eating more seafood? Are we eating enough seafood? What's the data say?
Sure. Well, we are not eating enough seafood. According to the dietary guidelines and USDA, who have done the research on this, it turns out that most Americans, about 80 to 90% of us, are not eating the recommended amounts of seafood each week. And so 80 to 90% of us is a huge proportion, as you know. And we should be getting about 2 to 3 servings of seafood each week. And that equates to about 8 to 12 ounces of seafood. And again, you know, most Americans are not eating those 2 to 3 servings a week. We tend to get about 1 serving a week. So most Americans need to eat about 2 to 3 times that. Pregnant women and young children and breastfeeding moms eat even less. They eat about 2 ounces of seafood a week. So about a quarter of the amount of seafood that they should be eating.
Well, it sounds like we certainly have some ways to go into getting the recommended amounts. And let me ask you, because I think a lot of the listeners, you know, sometimes are a little confused. Is all seafood created equally? So you're talking about, you know, a couple servings of fish, or are we talking about shellfish, or does it matter as long as we, you know, eat something from the sea?
Sure. That's a great question. And when I am talking about seafood, I mean both finfish and shellfish. And you know, really, we should be eating a good variety of seafood. So just like with vegetables and fruits and whole grains, you want to eat a variety of colors and a variety of types of grains. It's the same extends to seafood. We really want to be eating a variety of different types and different species of finfish and shellfish so that we can reap the maximum of the benefits from all of the different types of fish.
Well, you know, it's very interesting, and I've written a couple books, and in both The Fallacy of the Calorie, my latest book, Ancient Eats, we kind of look at the history of food and the evolvement of humankind, if you will. And there's a lot of anthropologists and historians and the like who really suggest that one of the keys in our development of intellect was the fact that, you know, our ancestors hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of years ago, migrated towards the sea, towards the ocean, and eating these protein-rich fish, with the fatty fish with the essential fatty acids, was really key to developing our intellect. So I guess my question is, when I was a little kid, my mom, and I love seafood, but she would always serve and say, make sure you eat your fish. It's brain food. So is seafood really brain food?
It is. It was very fortuitous of our ancestors to kind of migrate to the marine seafood, the marine animals. And seafood really is a no-brainer food. And one reason is because it is really rich.
I guess it could be an all-brainer food, right?
Right. Absolutely. And as you know, seafood is, you know, really rich in those omega-3 fatty acids, DHA and EPA, that are so critical to our brain health as we age, certainly to our cognition. We know now eating seafood can actually improve our health. It reduces risk of depression. And not only is seafood really important as we age, but seafood, those omega-3 fatty acids in seafood are extremely important for brain development in babies. So it's really important for breastfeeding and pregnant moms to be eating seafood, but also little kids. So your mom was spot on when she was feeding you the seafood. So important to get those omega-3s.
My mom usually was.
That's great.
Well, you know, and you mentioned a very important thing for, you know, developing brains. It's very important to get those types of essential fatty acids, which we find in marine sources. But most folks are unaware that there's actually a big turnover of fat, which comprises most of our brain. And one of those critical sources, it can actually become a conditionally essential amino acid, is DHA, or docosahexaenoic acid. And if you do not get the proper protein and fat sources, then you can become deficient in this, and it's rate limited in our body. And one of the best sources of DHA that is bioavailable is fish, and particularly, you know, fatty fish.
Right. Right.
Oh,
sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, so I was going to ask. So when we get a wide variety of different types of, you know, marine sources in our diet, is there something then that we should maybe concentrate on? Should we make sure we get, you know, a serving of salmon a week, or, you know, one of those other kind of, we call cold water or kind of fatty fishes in the culinary world, we call that. So should we, you know, make sure we get some of that, or just, you know, again, the wide variety is okay?
Yeah, I think wide variety is great. And again, you know, with the amount of seafood that Americans tend to eat, it's so little compared to other protein sources, especially other animal protein sources, that I tend to tell my clients, eat the kind of fish that you enjoy. You know, and venture out and try some of the fatty fish like salmon that are really rich in those omega-3 fatty acids. And even beyond salmon, you've got cod and herring and mackerel that are really rich in those omega-3 fatty acids. So salmon's a great fish, but, you know, even start thinking beyond that. Canned tuna, especially albacore tuna, tends to contain a lot of omega-3 fatty acids. And as long as you are eating a variety or striving to eat a variety each week, you'll be getting a good amount of those omega-3 fatty acids, protein, selenium, vitamin D, and B vitamins that are so rich in seafood.
And you bring up a great point. So there's all these, you know, different fish that should be options on our plate when we cast our net out there, you know, on looking at the menu. But what about sourcing the fish? You know, for a lot of folks, gosh, I'm confused. Should I buy, you know, farm, not buy farmed? What's your take on that?
Sure. And again, this goes back to, we really just want to see Americans meeting the dietary guidelines for seafood recommendations, and so procuring the seafood in whatever fashion that you can afford or wherever you shop is really the best way to get your seafood intake and really the best way to procure your seafood. You know, I tend to hear from clients a lot that seafood's expensive, which it really doesn't have to be, and, you know, reaching for the frozen seafood, you can... there are so many different varieties of frozen seafood that you can choose from, and you can pretty much get almost any kind of fish frozen these days. So that's a great source, just as nutritionally sound as seafood from the seafood counter. And also reaching for canned and pouch, tuna, salmon, sardines, anchovies. Those are, you know, really omega-3 rich species, so those are great options and tend to be very affordable. And also, just looking for you know, if you're shopping for seafood at the seafood counter, you know, look for ones that are on sale and buy extra and freeze them. So, you know, really, wherever you are shopping, look for you know, seafood at the stores that you shop at, and the varieties that you're within your budget.
Well, you know, and if folks have the opportunity to get to know your fishmonger, you know, that can make a world of difference. I have a great relationship with a fishmonger that I've known for years. And, you know, it gives me the ability to go in and say, hey, Steve, you know, what's fresh? You know, and he said, oh, we just got this in yesterday. You know, this was swimming off Key West. And also can, as you say, help you be a little cost conscious. Grouper, for example, is one of my favorite fishes, but a grouper fillet can be, you know, at times it was like $24 and such a pound. And as you said, that's very expensive, but you can get things like grouper cheeks, which are just these great flavorful hunks. Perfect if you're going to do like a blackened grouper, you know, taco or something like that, where you don't need the whole fillet. And they came in at like under $6 a pound. So like you said, kind of shopping around a little bit can make a big difference. But, you know, one of the things that I always stay away from, and I like your opinion on it, is tilapia from China. Just because I've read some of the reports, how they farm over there. They may not have the same sort of ecological and health standards and some of these exported tilapia that's you see about. And so that's something, you know, I always stay away from. What's your take on that?
You know, I think we've heard a lot about tilapia in the media over the years, and I think it's really come under scrutiny because whether it's sourcing methods or the fact that tilapia is a lower omega-3 fish, and so it's not as high in those heart-healthy fatty acids that we were talking about. The thing about tilapia is it tends to be a really versatile fish, and it's easy to use. And so if someone is starting on their seafood journey and they are a big poultry eater, tilapia is it's a great gateway fish for people to really start enjoying seafood, I have found. And so tilapia is a really great protein source. You're not going to get the same amount of omega-3 fatty acids and maybe some other nutrients that you would in the fattier fish, but it is a good protein, so I wouldn't steer someone away from it. Again, I think it depends on your taste and what you're looking for in that particular meal. And again, really just reinforcing that idea of eating a variety, and so if tilapia is a fish that you like, then, you know, I would say by all means keep it in. If you like a stronger tasting fish or a fattier fish, then there are lots of other options to choose from. So, you know, again, variety is really the key when we're talking about lots of food groups, and that applies to seafood as well.
And I think the one lesson I take out of that is it is important to source, to know, you know, where your fish is coming from. That kind of leads me to the next question, which is, you've heard, and I'm certainly sure you're aware, you know, that some folks have, you know, warned, for example, pregnant women shouldn't eat this fish or that fish because of potential toxins and things like mercury levels. So what's the story on that?
Sure, that's a great question. And I love your mention about getting to know your seafood monger. We should all know where our food is coming from more often. So I think that that's great, and I love that idea. And when we're talking about seafood during pregnancy, there's a lot of misperceptions around eating seafood during pregnancy. And the bottom line is pregnant women can and really should be eating seafood. And in the last round of the Dietary Guidelines for Americans, the 2015 to 2020 version, we really saw a lot of language around encouraging pregnant breastfeeding women to also be eating that minimum of 2 seafood meals a week. So again, that 8 to 12 ounces. For pregnant women, we know that most pregnant women in the U.S. tend to eat less than 2 ounces of seafood, about 1.9 ounces of seafood a week. So they're eating about about half a serving of seafood a week. And, at that amount, they're really not reaping those omega-3 benefits that their baby's brain and eyes really need. And so, You know, I think looking beyond the media and looking into the science, we know just how important seafood is for pregnant women and breastfeeding moms, and just how important the nutrients in seafood are for their developing baby's brain and eyes. And actually, there was a report that came out from the Food and Agriculture Organization and the World Health Organization several years ago, and they really looked at kind of really dove into what's the net benefit of seafood, you know, looking at any potential risk and looking at all of the tremendous health benefits of seafood. And their conclusion after much research was truly the real risk of eating seafood during pregnancy is not eating enough.
So there's more of a risk in not consuming good, healthful, responsibly acquired foods, you know, like seafood, like certain fishes, you know, versus any potential, you know, risk. And one thing, you know, I'd like to get your opinion on, if that does concern somebody, you know, some of the options that you mentioned, things like anchovies and herring, some of the smaller types of fish that aren't the big top of the line, top of the food chain, you know, predators like tuna, shark, swordfish, etc. Your risk is going to be less than that because obviously those big fish eat little fish. And if there is any issues in terms of things like mercury, it concentrates in the bigger fish versus the smaller fish. So, you know, that I think that's another potential strategy. And as you point out, it's a great way to try other types of fish.
Right. And I'm glad you mentioned that because there are four species that the FDA and that we dietitians recommend for pregnant women and breastfeeding women and young children to avoid. And those four fish are some of the bigger fish that you mentioned, such as shark, swordfish, king mackerel, and tilefish from the Gulf of Mexico. So those are the four species that that these populations really should avoid. But otherwise, commercially caught fish are safe for pregnant women, breastfeeding moms, young children, and, you know, again, trying to eat a variety is really going to maximize those benefits from seafood without any adverse risk.
Yeah, and so if you were, now I was watching Jim Gaffigan, who's one of my favorite comedians, because he obviously does a lot of food jokes, and this guy hates fish. He hates seafood. So if you were going to introduce him or you had somebody in your family that goes, oh, you know, I just don't like fish, what sorts of strategies would you use in terms of preparations?
Yeah, and it's a great visual about Jim Gaffigan. And I see this a lot with parents who, you know they realize the health benefits of seafood and they really want to bring up little seafoodies in their family and get their children to eat. But certainly there are plenty of adults that just haven't maybe had seafood cooked the right way or cooked properly. And I think really a good tip for introducing, you know, getting everyone in the family on board with eating seafood is serving it in dishes that are already favorite dishes. So, you know, let's say you have someone who really loves tacos. Instead of doing chicken or beef tacos, just swapping it out or maybe doing a surf and turf type of taco bar, something like that where you've got some fish tacos where they can put lots of those other favorite toppings. You've got, you know, corn tortillas and then maybe a cabbage or fruit salsa, and you've got, you know, maybe some type of cream sauce and cheese and that type of thing where there's a lot of other kind of favorite foods going along with seafood is always a great way to introduce it. If they love burgers, trying something like a tuna burger or a salmon burger, you know, is a good way to go, especially if they like toppings and condiments, things like that, that they can add to it. And I think that's kind of a great way to start introducing the palate to seafood is really introducing it in a way that they're already familiar with, favorite foods, and even alongside favorite side dishes and condiments and sauces.
Well, it's like you were at my house yesterday, because that is exactly what I had for dinner. I did some blackened fish tacos, some homemade tortillas, some fresh guacamole, and you know that's kind of one of my favorite kind of go-tos for a quick and easy way to, prepare fish. And one thing that I think people need to remember, and this is take my doctor hat off, because we talked about all those good nutrient types of benefits from eating fish, and put my chef's jacket on, and it just, you know, it's so absolutely delicious. And one of the tips I like to give folks is, you know, fish is the only food that you should never buy if it smells like what it is. So fresh fish should smell like the ocean. You know, it should be sweet, like a sea breeze. If it's smelling fishy, that means, you know, it's been there a little while, and you probably want to avoid that. And then what I did was exactly your strategy. So I went to my fishmonger, and they had a run of fresh local type of fish, so the price was really very amenable, to get in a nice quantity, and then you put some nice spices on it and you cook it up. And most people tend to overcook fish, which is something that we often talk about on the show when we have our chefs on, is how to make sure that the fish stays moist. Little tricks, there's a Japanese, I love sushi, been to Japan, and obviously that's a very seafood, marine based culinary culture, is you want to season it. So if you put a little bit of salt, maybe a couple hours before you're going to cook it, what that actually does is help it's almost like brining it, so it helps that fish stay moist. And I would recommend folks, or are there any resources you would recommend for folks to learn a little bit more about seafood, maybe get some tips, some recipes, etc.? Obviously, the listeners to our program, we have seafood all the time, always talking about it with different chefs. But any specific areas where that you would recommend that they can go and get some info?
Sure. I think, if you are looking for cooking resources and how to prepare it or procuring seafood, registered dietitians, if you look on kind of the registered dietitian foodie blogs, so many of them write about seafood, and that's a great place to learn how to shop for it, how to season it simply, and just making sure that you're getting, fresh fish and some great recipes. A blog that I contribute to is called dishonfish.com, and we have a lot of resources on how to prepare seafood, how to shop for it, what to look for, smelling it, like you mentioned, making sure that it's, very quality seafood, so that you're getting the best taste. And those are, some really easy resources to look up online. But again, finding recipes that you love and substituting seafood in there is really a great first step to just becoming kind of a seafoodie and home chef on expert on fish.
Yeah, and there is, I always got to get in one really bad pun per show. So there is an ocean of opportunity beyond, the fast food, tuna with, processed mayonnaise sort of stuff. That is not fish, folks. There is, everything from sushi to, Mediterranean style, lightly cooked in olive oil. You can have fish and chips. So I've got to ask you, what are a couple of your favorite fish dishes?
Well, the fish tacos is always a favorite, and especially if you've got guacamole. You mentioned that, and it's making me hungry. But really, I love, we eat a lot of salmon patties cooked all different ways and with different toppings. So I make them sometimes with corn, sometimes with a little shredded cheddar. Salmon burgers or patties are a big hit around here. I love a lightly baked fish and chips, like you mentioned, especially during these winter months, with a little bit of fresh coleslaw. And another one of my favorite dishes that is super simple is I open a pouch of tuna and dump it into a tomato sauce that's either homemade or jarred with some olives and capers. And that's just super, very tasty way to get dinner on the table very quickly and serve it with some whole grain pasta.
Oh, that actually sounds quite delicious, because that's a very Mediterranean approach. And, you know, you talk about health benefits. We see so much health benefit from a dietary approach that is more like what we call the Mediterranean diet in all those different countries, you know, around the Mediterranean Sea. And one common thing is that they all sort of have, you know, a take at maybe different herbs, spices, seasonings, whatever, but they all incorporate, you know, a fair amount of seafood, you know, into that approach. And we see, as you mentioned, less cardiovascular disease, less risk of cancer, you know, et cetera. So, you know, I think that, you know, educating the folks and helping them to incorporate more seafood into their daily diets, you know, I'm spot on with you. And it's so delicious. There's such a variety. Rima, can you give us one more time real quick before we close out where folks can go to get more information from you?
Sure. Dishonfish.com. And we have a website with a blog, and Twitter handle Dishonfish is a great place to find us as well.
So, folks, you make that your first stop, then head on over and get to know your fishmonger, and then try the ocean of opportunity, all the wonderful flavors, textures, and just make sure, again, you know, source your fish well. And until we meet again, may the only pain in your life be champagne.